Welcome to the 50th OA Birthday Sponsorship Workshop. My name is Laura, and I am a compulsive overeater and your leader for this workshop.
Hi, Laura.
Will those who wish please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Housekeeping. Please silence your cell phone. That would be housekeeping for the room, not the staff. Please silence your cell phone if you have not already done so. We won't have a break during the meeting, so please feel free to quietly exit and return as needed. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. In this workshop, every one of us will write about the topic, which is what we have learned from our mistakes in being sponsored or being a sponsor. Then, everyone in the room, speakers included, will pair up with one other person, and each will read their writing to each other, if you wish. This is only a suggestion, but won't we have fun? Then our leader, that would be me, and our three panelists, Michael, Doreen, and Linda, will share. And finally, we will have Q&A. An Ask-It basket is circulating, or will be. And please ask questions, as we will have lots of times for your gnarly questions. Ask for, a volunteer. I need a volunteer to read. Working with others. Would someone like to volunteer to do that? Okay. Would you like to join us up here?
Working with others? Is that on that one sheet that I...
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a compulsive overeater. For the type of alcoholic who is able and willing to get well, little charity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. The people who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol are on the wrong track. Yet we do go to great extremes to provide each other with these very things when such action is warranted. This may seem inconsistent, but we think it is not. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. She clamors for this or that, claiming she cannot master alcohol until her material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, partner or no partner, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every person so that she can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that she trust in God and clean house.
Thank you.
Okay, now we will all write for 15 minutes on what we have learned from our mistakes in being sponsored or being a sponsor. And we'll have a timer, and will there be a beep at 15 minutes, or you'll signal? Okay. Okay, the topic that we're writing on is what we have learned from our mistakes in being sponsored or being a sponsor. Okay, that's time. That was a quick 15 minutes. Let's see. Dan, so now we do the speaking and the reading shares later, right? Okay, so we're going to do the sharing on our reading later. Right now, we're going to have, I will now share on the topic for 5 minutes. Hi, I'm Laura. I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi. Thank you, Zan, for asking me. I'm so honored to just be part of this fellowship, to be here, to speak and share my experience, and I came to OA in 1989, and I've been abstaining since then, which is 20 years ago. And my experience with sponsorship started, of course, right off. I heard get a sponsor, so I asked someone, and over the next probably 12 years, I had probably 5 or 6 different sponsors. One was a long-term sponsor who I worked my steps with, and I did my first 4-step with her. But one by one, they all moved out of town. So, which was fine with me, frankly, because I had a really hard time with sponsorship, with intimacy with a sponsor. I mean, right, doing the 4-step was incredible. You know, it really was life-changing. And I was intimate with my sponsor for that. But I didn't call her regularly. I didn't, when I called and she wasn't there, I was thrilled. And, you know, we never had regular contact. And when I was 12 in OA, I suddenly started to crave that. And I heard people saying, you know, what my sponsor told me to do this, or my sponsor suggested that, or my sponsor knew me, and I found a sponsor. Finally, after 12 years, I was willing to have an intimate relationship with a sponsor, and now I do. I call her. I leave her a message every day. We talk once a week for about 30 minutes, and she knows me, and she has been a crucial part of my progress. Because as time goes by, I need more program, not less, and so that's been really. That's been really great. My experience as a sponsor, in the few probably seconds that I have left, is that I really rate myself. Well, today I rate myself with a probably a A- as a sponsor, but I would say that, you know, my experience as a sponsor up until the person I currently sponsor was, I was trying to make them work my program the way that I do. I love OA. I mean, always the 12 steps, my relationship with my higher power, you know, really it is the most important. It's the thing I have to do every day, every minute, because I won't have a great life otherwise. And if someone doesn't share that passion, I'm like, what? Well, so what's your problem? And so, you know, that's my problem, because it's not up to me how other people work their program. And I feel like today, with the woman I sponsor, I have more respect for that and more compassion. And, you know, I'm getting better at it, 20 years in OA, you know. So I think that's pretty much what I have to share on this topic, and thank you. Okay, and please help me welcome our first panelist, Linda, who will share for 15 minutes on the topic.
Gee, I was hoping I'd be last. Hi, I'm Linda, compulsive overeater.
Hi.
Well, the first thing I want to say is that coming into OA, I came into OA when I was 19 years old, and one of the greatest things that I learned in the program, and it pertains to sponsorship, is that if you find somebody that has what you want, ask them how they got it. And that's the essence of the program and the 12 steps. You can't keep what you have unless you give it away. And that makes it so that this isn't a program that you come to, you lose your weight, and then you go out. The hitch is that you have to give it away. You have to keep coming back. And I learned that very early on, and I guess that's one of the strongest points about AA also, is that you have to give it away. You know, you have to, and it's proven that if you can't keep what you have unless you do that. So I learned very early on, if you see somebody that has what you want, ask them how they got it. And the very first person that I had as a sponsor was like a big sister, you know, and she was the person that I gave my inventory to. So she was my big sister. Then I went, my next sponsor was like a mother. So I went from a big sister to a mother, and I needed somebody to tell me what to do. This person that I chose as a sponsor, as my big sister, I haven't seen for years and years, and I don't think she's here. But the lady that I chose as a sponsor for my mother is probably not only my guardian angel, but she's like, if I'm the left shoe, she's my right shoe. She's just, if I'm the left hand, she's my right hand. And she gave me what I wasn't able to get from a mother. And when I came into OA, I blamed my parents, especially my mother, for not being the kind of mom that I wanted her to be. And when I found this lady who became like my mother, I mean, she was just somebody that I turned to, you know, and I could share with, and who knew me probably better than my own mother did. It's only many, many, many years later that I can see that, you know, your mom is your mom, and then your program mom is your program mom. And she had the same disease that I do of compulsive overeating, so she was the only one that could understand what it was like to, and I know you're not supposed to talk about food, but I'll just share that. For me, my compulsion was so that I could eat normally the whole day, and then at night, let's say I ate one pretzel, that was it. That pretzel led to zillions of other things, and I did not know anybody else that did that till I came into OA. And the only way I learned that, and any of us learn it, is that we all share our stories, and that somewhere in the room, somewhere in the meetings, you will hear somebody that either shares your story or somebody that says something that clicks with you. So coming to OA and learning that there were other people that went crazy with food and tried to kill themselves with food and would eat till they were sick and then start again the next day, that was home for me. That was home for me. And because of that, and because of finding this lifesaver, you know, I know that I must keep coming back. And the part of that being a sponsor, I've always believed that the program is about attraction rather than promotion. And, you know, at the meetings, a lot of times you write your name down and your date of abstinence and the best hours to call and stuff. Well, I don't get a lot of people that call me. I don't get a lot of people that call me. And at first I used to think like I'm not giving the program away, you know, and I'm not doing it right and stuff. But I've been coming back to OA for about, I guess it's almost like 39 years. And that is my sponsorship. You know, that is my sponsorship. I'm not one of these people. I mean, I do speak at conventions, and I think I spoke at a convention probably like my third or fourth year in OA. But I just keep coming back, and I just walk my yellow brick road that I found here in OA, and I have people that I call as sponsors who share with me. At first, as I say, I needed a big sister, and then I needed a mother to tell me what to do, and now I have peers that tell or share with me or infuse me when I can't, you know, give me something when I can't give it to myself. But what I wanted to also say about the word mistake, when I looked it up in the dictionary, you know, it's two words, miss and then take. Okay, miss means not to do something, and take means to do something or to act on something. So a mistake to me is just not acting on what you know you're supposed to do. So I don't think, I mean, I used to think that mistakes were like punishment from God, and the biggest mistake in my life was that for some reason, you know, I could not eat like a normal person. That was the biggest mistake of my life, I always thought. But really what it was that the mistake was, I mean, the miss and then the take was the underlying thing of my life, because I never wanted to make any mistakes. I never wanted to take any responsibility. And eating was the perfect way to do that. And then you get into the program, and then you abstain, and then somebody, if you choose them as a sponsor, gives you an outline of what you're supposed to do. And you either do it or you don't. And another thing that I learned in AA is that you just do it. It's kind of like the Nike thing. You know, if you call somebody and they tell you what to do, you either do it or you have the chance, you know, you have the choice not to do it. And when I've My fortune is that when I've chosen people to call, I've always done what they've told me to do. And I've even gotten great advice about hair cutters. I've gotten great advice about where to go, what to do, you know, all these different things. And sponsors then become like family. You know, then become like family. You have your, you know, your maternal family, but then I have this family. And this is really the family that nurtured me. And through OA, I've come, in the 12 steps, you know, I've come to believe that there are no mistakes, and that my parents were what I needed and who they were, and they did the best job that they could be. But I have an illness, compulsive overeating, and for this illness, there is no cure. There is just a daily reprieve. And you can only get it in a 12-step program. At least I believe that I can only get my reprieve in a 12-step program. And it is just for the day. So, let's see. There was something else that I 5 minutes. Good. sponsors are, my sponsors are like my friends. My sponsors are like my family. And I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't have all the guideposts along the way, all these little people that help you, whether you call them for a week, a month, or years. But I just would not be who I am and where I am if there weren't people that went before me and said, you can do this, or this is possible, or this is what I did, you know, and I found this to work. Maybe it will work for you. And to me, that's just the essence of the program. If nobody came back to share what worked for them, there would not be any sponsors. And if we didn't stay and come to the meetings, there wouldn't be any sponsors. So that keep coming back and sponsorship are probably the strongest tools of the program, bar none, aside abstinence. Because for me, until I could get my food under control, or I shouldn't say get my food under control, and until I could abstain and eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, nothing else in my life mattered. God, sponsor, nothing. And it was like I came in and I just wanted to know how to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And of course it was to be thin, but how to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I learned that because people shared it. They shared at the meetings. And then I started doing that, eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then finding out that all those 11 other steps and the 12 steps altogether were all part of the learning how to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and that you couldn't eat just breakfast, lunch, and dinner and do this. You had to do those other things. You just had to. And, I'm grateful that at least I know what to do. And have found my own yellow brick road, and that's what the program has given me. That's what my sponsors have taught me until I could, they like feed you until you can feed yourself. And just like a parent teaches you, how to walk until you can walk, how to do whatever you do until you can do it yourself. And, and then when it's time to leave a sponsor, it either becomes uncomfortable or they move away or something happens that it's just time to move on. But I don't think that, the word mistake, I tend not to use that. I think it's just, gathering experiences, some that work and some that don't. And probably the only mistake that I've made with sponsors is that with sponsorees, is that sometimes I've let people just go on and go on and go on in the problem rather than the solution. And that, again, I've learned this from AA, it's like, you just do it, And they say, a lot of times they'll say, look, if you don't do it, call somebody else. I mean, I could never do that. I could never do that. I was always like, I'd listen and listen, and that was kind of like enabling people, instead of just saying, either do it or don't. So I don't know if what I'm saying makes any sense, but, that saying, just keep coming back, and doing what you do for the day, and is the essence of the program. And then these other tools, meetings, sponsorship, telephone calls, are all the things that you have to do to support that keep coming back and to support the program, and that one is just as important as the other, and that you don't know any of this until you come to meetings and then you hear people share, and you don't know that you can do it until you hear people share. And then you by getting a sponsor, you hear what you need to hear at 10 o'clock at night, you know, when there is no meeting, or you hear it at 7 in the morning, or somebody infuses you with the energy to get through something, like knowing that you're going to get fired and you get called into the boss's office, and before you go in, you call your sponsor and she says, say a prayer, I don't know any place else where I would get that, you know. And I just want to share that I have a very normal life, and I have a good life, but I would not have it without abstinence. I would not have anything without abstinence. And I wouldn't even have the nerve to ask somebody, I wouldn't even have the nerve to come to meetings anymore if I didn't have abstinence, because I don't think that I could redo this. And for me, I just believe that I have to do this. It's not a question of should I or shouldn't I. And I'm done, so thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Okay, help me welcome our second panelist, Doreen, who will now share for 15 minutes also on the topic.
Well, hi, I'm Doreen. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm the second generation of Linda. I came into OA when I was 18, and Linda was at my very first meeting, and she was the first person to call me. I didn't call. She called me 3 days after the meeting to see how I was, because I was too scared to call. And anyhow, so I agree with what Linda said. My first sponsor was like a big sister, and then I needed really more at that point in time, more of a mother. So I had older women for a while, and I didn't understand in the beginning, and my abstinence started a year and a half later. I mean, this abstinence. I didn't quite understand. I needed to be taken care of more. And I couldn't really grasp what the program really was. I just didn't know. I knew I was a compulsive overeater, but I guess I hadn't surrendered or whatever. But what happened was I ate again because life didn't go my way. And at that point, there were a group of people who were abstaining a certain way, and abstinence was the most important thing in their life without exception. That was what I wanted. I needed to know and to find that abstinence was the most important thing in my life without exception. And to this day, I surround myself, 30 years of abstinence, being around people who have abstinence being the most important thing in their life without exception. And I don't have people sponsor me, or I don't look for support from people who don't want that for me. I mean, even if they're not a compulsive overeater or abstinent, I need people who want that for me. And since when I started this abstinence 30 years ago, I went to a woman that may have been Linda's sponsor, I'm not sure, for a while, but she was very rigid, and that's what I needed at that time, and she taught me how to use the steps. She said, this is how you eat. You write down your food. You make 3 phone calls a day. You call me every day at a specific time. You read the literature. You write every day, and you go to a meeting every day. And that's how I started this abstinence. A mistake I made, she called a mistake as I got a little bit further, was I thought that was the only way to sponsor. I thought I had to be that kind of sponsor after that. And over the years, I had to learn that people didn't have to do it exactly how I did it. But at that time, that's what I needed in the beginning to have my abstinence. And then when I lost all my weight, that woman was like a mom. She said, you need to have a peer or like a big sister. So Linda became my sponsor again. And my sponsor had sent me to Linda, go back to Linda, because Linda knew how to maintain abstinence. Abstinence was the most important in her life without exception, but she lived her life more flexibly. And she was 8 years older than I was, and more had come in as a teen. And so she had what I needed or wanted next, which was, how do I live in this very scary life? Because when you took away the food, I was terrified. And Linda had, you know, was getting married, and then she had a child, and you know, she just had, well, she was thin all these years and very beautiful, and those were the things that I wanted, was to find a way, because I never believed I could be happy or have a normal life. I was a fat, ugly little girl. I was told boys don't like fat, ugly little girls. I was told I was destined and doomed to always be fat, that I was big boned, that it was in my family. And basically I felt like I was doomed, and this was like, I was 10 years old. That's what I believed, and 14 years old. And so with this absence, I was taught I could have beautiful things, and I could treat myself like I was beautiful. And so that was the beginning of the sponsorship I needed. And then I needed people, for some reason I needed some men, which is not a good idea to have a, but at that point there were some lessons I had to learn about recovery, and one of those things was in the 12 and 12, and I was brought up always a big book, always the AA 12 and 12, so I'm not as familiar with the OA 12 and 12. But if you look at chapter, step 7, the last two paragraphs, one of the men's sponsors had me write this over and over and over again, and he was not a good sponsor except for me learning that, and it was just for a few months. And I even think when I read that second to last paragraph, that is actually the story of mistakes as a sponsor and solution as a sponsor. And it says the chief activator of our defects has been self-centered fear, primarily fear that we would lose something we already possessed or would fail to get something we demanded. And that was a big problem, like terrified of finding the right sponsor. And there is no just one right sponsor, but though that little sentence or couple phrases was a big part of my fear about sponsors. And then it says, living upon a basis of unsatisfied demands, we were in a state of continual disturbance and frustration. Well, how many people have been frustrated when a sponsor didn't meet your demands? They didn't answer the phone when you wanted them to. They didn't have time to meet with you or talk to you. Or they let you down because they didn't do what you thought they should do, and now they were a bad sponsor and blah, 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 blah. And so that was, came out in my growing up in recovery. And it says here, no peace was to be had unless we could find a means of reducing these demands. Well, that's when I found I was able to really find more peace in my recovery, was knowing God gives me sponsors. And I always have a real sponsor. I mean, the capital S name, you know, I have a sponsor. But then there are all these certain people that I haven't asked as sponsors who have been given to me and have such an impact on my life and have changed the course of my life. But I never asked them to be my official sponsor. They were usually people who had tons of sponsees, and I didn't want someone who had tons of sponsees because I wanted to make sure there was time for me, because I needed to know time. And in fact, one of my obligations I feel as a sponsor, or I believe is the key to being a sponsor or having a sponsor, is that a sponsor is committed to supporting you in your abstinence. And so I try to make sure I'm that kind of sponsor. And today people don't have to do exactly what I do. They have to be committed to abstinence, and they have to be willing to work the program, i.e. the steps, and to, that means writing 10, you know, inventory and 10 steps and going to meetings and sponsoring. But I can't, I don't expect them to abstain the same way I do. Out of fear, I used to think you had to. I don't expect them to work the program just like I do, but out of fear, I used to think you had to. I just expect them to make abstinence the most important thing in their life without exception, to call me and be honest and close to me, to have mutual respect of one another, and to maintain a normal weight I think that's really important, because I think maintaining a normal weight is making sure we're not using the food. Like, that's how, why being thin or a normal weight really matters, at least from my perspective, is that it's a signal that I'm not using food. Because when I start to edge up on using some food to comfort myself, my weight goes up. So I have a gauge of when I'm starting to use a little bit of food to take the edge off. Oh, that's the other thing. I'm a compulsive overeater. I will always be a compulsive overeater. I've got to know that I am a compulsive overeater. And to this day, I get reminded all the time that I am. And I hate that I'm not recovered, or I'm not like some people who don't care about where their next meal is coming from. I always know where my next meal is coming from. I have to know. I have to know that I know that lunch is coming for me, you know, 11:30 or 12 today, and I know the basics of what I have to have, but I can get it anywhere. I have portable food. That was what I was taught, and I talked to my sponsees about that. Always know where your next meal is coming from. Have portable food, and you've got to eat your three meals. Eating your three meals, it's not, It's not negotiable or optional to skip a meal. Only under dire circumstances can I skip a meal, and I expect that of my sponsees. In terms of also about life or recovery in this program, is I need people invested in my whole life. So I need to not keep secrets from my sponsees, and I need them not to keep secrets from me. I used to be afraid if a sponsor needed something from me. I was terrified as a young girl, young and abstinent, that if they needed me, that was like, oh my God, they can only be there for me. I can't help them. And today my relationships with my sponsees is a give and take. And I don't expect anything from them, but I find they're happiest when they can interact in my life. And I'm happiest when they can interact, when I can interact in their lives. And I've been through life and death with people. I've had very close people die in this program, not from the disease, but from, you know, like a gut dying and a brain tumor. And, you know, and we were together at the hospital. It was my, part of my recovery is being there in their life. I've been in someone's marriage or two people's weddings in recovery, which is a blessing. When I got married, I wanted Linda for my maid of honor, and you were just having a baby, so you couldn't. She was due like right around then. But that was the kind of thing, is that Linda belonged in my life and is part of my life, and we've been close friends for 30 years, known each other for 32 years. I think that in terms of sponsor stuff, don't take on too many sponsees. You know, in the beginning and for a long time, I'd have one or two. Where I live, they're very few. I have the longest abstinence of people, so I leverage sponsorship, which means I'll sponsor a few people, and then they sponsor people, and then we together kind of work the program together. So I leverage, and that way, I'm not sponsoring 10 people. I do sponsor about 6 or 7, but only because I have people who are low maintenance, like very easy sponsees, and then more needy sponsees. I can't have sponsees all at the same level of need. And I also, as the more abstinence I have, it's better for me not to be the food sponsor. I don't have time. I can give more to people who can then be food sponsors. But I have recovery that I do better sharing than being a food sponsor. And I can't keep track of people's food or anything. They have to. So I think having a food sponsor who keeps track with you, who helps you, I can't be that kind of sponsor today. I don't have a good enough memory. I don't have that kind of time. I think the other thing is that you don't have to live in the same city as your sponsor, I believe, or who you sponsor. As long as you go to meetings and have other people to support you in your community, for me, because I've lived in different places, my sponsor doesn't have to live where I live. I can have two sponsors if I need someone right where I live and my real sponsor who has long-term recovery. One other thing, when you have long-term abstinence, your sponsor doesn't have to have more time than you. I thought I always had to have a sponsor have more time than me. Well, if you have long-term abstinence, it becomes hard, and you need each other. So it's wrong to think I have to go find someone. Like, more abstinence doesn't mean you're better than someone. I guess that's it. It becomes, how do we work our program? And then that leads to the last thing, which is co-sponsoring, and I think you were referring to that but didn't call it that. That we can, the few of us, kind of sponsor each other, because we are more peers. We have all the history together. We know each other backwards and forwards. We know how to support each other in ways that maybe someone who didn't know us all these years couldn't support us, like my shtick. Like, Zan knows my shtick. You know, and Linda knows my shtick. So when I'm pulling, you know, when I'm all frantic and anxious or whatever, they know how to support me. I have an illness, and they know how to support me in my chronic health condition. So anyhow, I'm just so grateful to be here. One last thing, you know, OA is your sponsor. And I don't believe I could be abstinent without OA. And I certainly cannot be abstinent without another person next to me. I've got to have another person for me who's abstinent. So thank you.
Thank you, Doreen. And now help me welcome our final panelist, Michael, who will share for 15 minutes on the topic.
Hello, everybody. I'm Michael. I'm a compulsive overeater. I thank God for my abstinence and my sobriety every single day that I get up. I get on my knees, and I thank God for the way my life's changed since I've come into this program. And I want to thank Zan for asking me to speak. And it's definitely God's will that I'm here today, because last week I was saying to my own sponsor, all these sponsees that come to me, they don't seem to be lasting with me. Why can't I become a better sponsor? And then Zan's asked me to come and speak on this. Can't hear me at all? Can you hear me now? Better? How's that? Shall I just hold it?
Yeah.
Okay, so can you hear me now at the back? Excellent. Right, so shall I start again?
Yeah.
All right, so I was saying to my sponsor last week, you know, a lot of people come to me and they don't seem to stay with me. And why can't I become a better sponsor? And I tell him what I do with him. I do everything with the sponsees that he's done with me. And he said, it's not you. And at the end of the day, you're abstinent. And that's the biggest thing. So when Zan asked me to come and speak today on being on the mistakes I've learned from being a sponsor, I could talk to you for about 3 hours, never mind 15 minutes. But anyway, see a lot of familiar faces in here. I'm originally from the UK. I wish I could tell you that I've come all the way from the UK today to be with you. But I haven't. I've come from Santa Monica, 15 minutes up the road there. But it's good to be here. So the lessons I've learned from, and I haven't done this very long. Oh, I did want to share this with you before I go on. 2 years ago today was my first ever OA meeting. And it was, yeah. And, you know, if you could have seen me 2 years ago, or told me 2 years ago, I'd be standing in front of you today talking about this, weighing 120 pounds less than I was 2 years ago, and sober and abstinent, I would have said that is just, there's just no way that could have happened. So that's the great miracle of OA. And the reason why I tell you that is because I tell my sponsees that when people come to me, I try and share the passion and the hope that this program's brought to my life, because my whole life has changed. Everything about my life has changed. And when I see people in meetings that are so desperate and depressed, I go to them. I don't wait for people to come to me. I go to them and I'll say, can I sponsor you? That's what I do. And I sponsor women and men. I don't believe in this. That's just me. You know, I think it's very important for me to keep what I've got to share it with anybody who wants it. You know, anybody who wants it. And so that's when I get very downhearted, when I tell people what I do to keep my abstinence, and then half of them don't call me back. You know, because I say to them, look, I don't want you to weigh your food. I don't really care what you eat. All right? And I want you to pray a lot, because that's how I've kept my abstinence. Because for me, it wasn't about the food, okay? I suffer from a disease that's centered in my mind. And the food was the solution for so many years. But then it took over and it became even worse for me. And life got so bad for me, and I tell my sponsees this, life got so bad for me that my only solution out of it was to jump off the California bridge. That was my solution. And so I went into a church a couple of years ago, and I got on my knees and I asked God, if you're there, I need you to show me the way out of this horrible life that I'm living now. And he brought me to OA. And now I take my sponsees back to this church and I show them where it all started for me. And I tell them that the solution I found was in the steps. It was in the steps. And so my sponsees have to work the steps very, very quickly with me. There's no hanging around here. You know, we don't talk and we get on with it. We get on with it very quickly. And when it comes to the fourth step, we get on with it. We move quickly. Because I tell them, what's the alternative? Do you want to keep living in this desperation? Do you want to live in this desperation? Or do you want to find a life that is just beyond your imagination? And I show them the great thing about being a compulsive overeater, and my first ever sponsor's in the room, Mickey, and he was the one that really got me going, and I owe that man a lot. I'll start getting emotional in a minute. And my other sponsee that was in, he walked in and he walked out, and I don't know why he did that. But and my normal reaction would be, get back here. But I don't do that now with people. So what I tell people is I share the passion I've got for the program and the hope, and I tell them what my life was like. And the great thing about being a compulsive overeater, I've got the pictures to prove it. And I show them these pictures of me when I was 330 pounds. And they look at these pictures and they look at me now and go, is that the same person? And I say, yeah, it is. It is. But there's a huge change, and the change is inside. Because when you change the inside, the outside changes. That's why we don't need to measure our food and count calories. That's what I tell them. That's just my way of doing it. And so I've got two people at the moment that are following everything that I did with my own sponsor, and they're seeing miracles already happening in their lives. The fact that my sponsee's come today, even though he's walked out, he's probably gone to another meeting, is amazing. And I sponsor a woman, and she called me the other night, and she said, I want to binge, life's just so hopeless. And I said to her, right, what you need to do here is really pray and really ask God to come in and remove that compulsion, because that's the way you remove a compulsion to overeat. Again, I'm just talking for me. And she did it, and she called me the next day and went, I didn't binge. And that's the miracle, isn't it? Isn't that the miracle of it? That's the miracle of OA. And so the mistakes I've learned when I first started this, I was so passionate and enthusiastic, and I wanted everybody to have the same abstinence that I've got. And that's everybody's abstinence is different. So my abstinence is very sacred to me. It's between me, God, and my sponsor. And what I eat and what you eat are two totally different things. So I don't force my own abstinence on somebody anymore. And I don't judge. And it doesn't matter to me what they eat. But if they follow this simple process and they get into the steps very quickly, then the food will really change. Because I think when you work the steps really with sincerity in your heart, you can't binge anymore. It doesn't have the same effect on you. It doesn't fulfill that hole, because you've already fulfilled it. You know, you're filling that hole with bringing this power into your life. That's what I found. And so the other thing that the other big mistake that I've really learned from was my own ego, because I've got to be very careful of my ego, because my ego takes over, and I'll start saying, you need to do this and you need to do that, and that's not, we're very defiant. Well, I'm a very defiant person. And I've noticed my sponsees are a little bit like that as well. So I can't force them to do that. But I just keep telling them about the hope. The hope and I see the hope light up in them, and then I see the changes, because there is great hope here. This is a miracle. It really is a miracle. I can't really explain it to you, and I bet you can't really explain it to me, but it does work, doesn't it? Absolutely works. And so, you know, that's what I share with them. And we do pray a lot. There's a lot of prayer when I sponsor people. And so we get together a couple of times a week, and we do go through the big book, because the messages are in the big book. Every time I read the big book with a sponsee, there's always a different message. And the steps is the answer. And that's the only answer I see. I don't really have any other answer to this. You know, there's no other answer to it. I tell them about how I've tried everything already. Psychiatrists, psychologists. I went to see a medium. And I just lost a lot of money and nothing really happened, you know. I actually put a bit of weight on. So I've got 5 minutes left. So when we were writing this, doing this exercise, I thought this is a great exercise. The other mistakes that I've come to learn is that I can't manage my own life, so I can't start trying to manage other people's lives. So I really do detach from it. They talk about that in Al-Anon, where you detach. I've read those pamphlets, and I really do come away from it. But I do pray very hard for the sponsees that come into my life. And, you know, I do see big changes in them. And, you know, even the little smallest things can really, really help people. So there was something happened in a Whole Foods in Santa Monica. I was in there, and there was a woman that came in I know from program, and she was, it's amazing. I always meet people in Whole Foods on Wilshire Boulevard in Santa Monica from away, and they always look in my basket. You know. And I do eat quite healthily now, and they always, and I can see them, and it's actually Linda. I was telling Linda about somebody, and they're looking in my basket to see what I eat. And there was a woman in there, and her basket was full of what I call alcoholic foods, and I could see she was very desperate. And she walked down to the car with me, and I said, "Look, there is hope here. You know, there is great hope here." And you know, just say a prayer tonight before you go home. And you don't need the food anymore. And the loneliness can be taken away, because you've got a whole lot of people around you that will help you. And she came back to away the next day, and she celebrated her birthday last week. She had me up to give her a candle, and she told this story. And just little tiny things like that, just share that hope. I think that's what we should do as sponsors, just share that hope. And if you share that hope, then it's amazing the impact you have on people's lives. Because that's what my sponsor did for me, and that's what Mickey did for me as well. He just shared his hope with me. And then I realized that, you know, there is an answer here, and I can live a normal life without having my head in a toilet or being 330 pounds. And the other thing that's very important I do, I really share my passion, because I'm very passionate about this program. You know, and I talk from, you know, I really talk from my heart about it. And I get very emotional. And I cry a lot in front of them, you know. And thinking about it now, I do cry a lot, because I couldn't go on until I found you people. And now, you know, 2 years on, I'm standing up in front of you. And I feel, for the first time in a long time, I actually feel good about myself, and that's a big thing for me, and that's all down to the program and this great power. And every day, every morning, I get on my knees and I thank God, and I ask Him to come into the lives of people that I meet in meetings and bring that great hope that it's brought to me. And I think that's why these sponsees stay with me, because they know I mean it. So I get really emotional about it, and I don't really have much more to say. And I wish you'd hold up that red card and say you're now done. I've got 1 minute. I really don't have anything else to say. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would everyone just join me in thanking our panelists again? Let's take a leader's prerogative, and I add it up, if I can add correctly, that this panel, including me, represents 91 years of abstinence. If I added correctly. Okay, now we all get to participate. We'll all pair up to read our writing. The idea is complete confidentiality, like a fifth step, so let it all hang out. Let it all hang out. Please pick one person to share with. And do we have a timing on this? We'll time it for 15 minutes.